shall we get going?
Let's do it.
All right. Welcome to Pack Your Mics, a podcast about Top Chef from the creators of Read It and Weep. I am your host. My name is Tanya.
Yeah.
And I'm here. Yay. Hi, everybody.
Yay.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so excited.
We're back.
But also my stomach is a clenched fist. So
hooray.
Yeah. Clenched fist.
Woo. And I'm here in Brooklyn with Chris.
Hey.
Hey. And before I go through and introduce everybody, I have a little like introductory thing that I want you guys to answer, and I didn't tell you ahead of time because I want it to be fresh and off the cuff.
Now I'm feeling that clenched fist thing.
Me too.
Yeah, now you can all feel like I feel. So what I want you to say when I introduce you is sum up your time away from Pack Your Mics with a food. So I'm gonna do a not so nice thing and speak for Chris as well.
Let's all speak and I'm gonna for Chris say today.
That yeah, I'll speak for Chris too.
Chris, it's been great, but we're gonna need you to pack your mics.
Wow, you see, I thought he was gonna be safe when Tanya started hosting, but no.
Yeah, no.
She's not playing favorites.
No,
just
really.
Like Emerald.
Twice as hard on Chris.
Surprise early elimination. Yeah.
So the food that sums up our time away from Pack Your Mics is carrot cake, because we joined you guys in the club of married people.
Oh.
Yeah,
and that was our wedding cake.
That was our NYC wedding.
Well, I know,
cake.
And then mine could be chocolate cake. That was our wedding cake in Seattle.
Perfect. So, secret
about the marriage club: it's the only time you're allowed to eat carrot cake. So the rest of you who are doing it before you're married.
What?
We don't approve.
Living in sin.
You got to save a cake for marriage. Yeah.
All right. So let me explain who else is on the mics with us today. In Portland, we have Alex and Megan.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
We're too busy clenching. Megan, what's our food? What describes us in the last...
I mean, I would say, like, caffeine. Is that a food?
Absolutely. That counts. That definitely counts.
Yeah, lots of coffee, lots of black tea, I would say, for me, at least.
This is, I guess this is too TV-related and not as personal, but I would say a pie crust. Because we've been really into the Great British Bake Off, and so I tried to make pie crust for the first time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So
how'd it go?
Inspired to bake. Not great,
but... It went really well. It was really good. He did a really good job.
It was not great.
Aw, disappointed.
But pie crust can be stressy.
I'm getting conflicting reports.
Yeah. I trust one of them.
Pie crust can be stressful.
Yeah, it can.
It's a tricky thing. It felt great just to have done a poor job of it, but, like, it did... It, you know, it didn't eat well... As Tom was saying.
Did it play well?
Okay. Okay. No, it was fine. It was totally fine. I just used a ceramic baking thing, pie tin, and so it sloughed. It sloughed.
Oh, well, here's the thing. How cold was the dough before you put
it
in?
The butter, right?
It was refrigerated for a couple hours.
Okay.
It was pretty cold. There are other tips for that I found later, so.
I'm going to send you a pie crust recipe I like.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh.
I'm never going to do it again. I just wanted to try it once.
Okay. I've been super into making pies recently.
Really? Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
We'll have to make a Christmas pie.
Oh, okay. We'll do a Christmas pie.
Okay.
All right. Christmas pie.
Christmas
now,
pie.
Now, last but not least, in the Bay Area, we have Ezra and Sarah, and occasionally the mighty Caleb.
Oh.
Yeah. He's out cold right now.
I'm going to guess milk is his.
Definitely milk, which in Caleb speak is mutt.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yes. So that would be his. I think ours, or at least one of ours, is a mushed up banana that you occasionally find kind of like in between the couch and the wall.
Where you least expect it.
It's always surprising.
In the carpet. and it's definitely been masticated a couple of times.
Oh, like two separate times?
I'd say whatever the food is I would pick is something that I've absentmindedly put in my mouth after Caleb's command to me that he's definitely eaten before. But
you gotta tell him if it's been in your mouth, don't put it in my food.
And yet.
There's so many things on your mind. If there's a piece of something in your hand, the fastest way to get rid of it is to put it in your own.
Yeah, I don't want to have to get up and throw it away.
Your mouth is just a hand you don't use as well.
Heard it here first. I'm actually gonna say waffles.
Waffles. Oh. Waffles are a good one.
Waffles are one of Caleb's like not his best words, like in for like, but our favorite words of his, I think, because it's like he's not great at it yet, but it's like waffle.
Like a confused
gets more and more intense
Belgian
about
tourist.
It.
Yeah.
Waffle is very onomatopoetic, as it turns out.
Is it?
So,
That's the sound that a waffle makes.
Oh, yeah, that's the sound a waffle makes. Absolutely, Alex.
You know, you ever put it on your plate and you're cutting it up, it's like, waffle.
All right, so we are here to discuss the first two episodes, Twist, of... I was about to say Pack Your Mics, but
yeah, let's talk about this one, the next one. Yeah.
Top Chef season 13.
Yeah.
Episodes 1 and 2.
California. So,
we're going back to Cali.
Yeah.
And so this, we're going to be taking a tour of California, visiting a lot of different cities, but we're starting out in Los Angeles. And we have 17 shiny chefs cluttering up our TV.
Yep.
Oh, too, many
too many cooks.
Too many cooks. We're keeping it pretty simple. We've just got Padma and Tom in the kitchen. They greet everyone. We don't have a lot of like coming in from the airport. Yada yada yada. Like they really get down to business.
You're right.
Yeah.
We didn't get the airport.
There's no
arrivals.
Baggage claim.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be on Top Chef.
People like awkwardly hugging.
Done that for a while. Yeah, though. You know, I feel like that's been a while.
Yeah. If there's one theme to the production of these two episodes, I think it's there's no time.
Right.
Like they have so many chefs and they're doing so much. We opened up with a mise en place race.
Yeah.
I mean, we opened up the second one. It's like mini restaurant wars. There's so much.
I know. Yeah, there's so getting right to it.
Cooking forward. I love it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the mise en place. How did you guys? I mean, I think we all love the mise en place. Generally speaking, is that fair to say?
Can never get enough.
Yeah. This was weird though. This
I love it, but it wasn't relay.
Oh, wait, Ez, what would you say about that?
Well, it was weird because this was choose your own mise en place. Yeah. It wasn't the relay that I was hoping for.
And it wasn't a relay. It was a flat foot race, essentially.
Right. Yeah. And it seemed like there was enough, like no one got their second choice for the mise en place. It seemed like everyone got what they wanted,
true, yeah. No one was pissed.
Yeah.
Except for a guy who got orange in his eyeball, which... It turned out Weiner. He deserved it, but it was a little early then.
Yeah, the orange knew what we didn't know.
I don't know. That's when I first realized that I wasn't going to like him.
Oh, really?
It wasn't when he took off his shirt to put on his chef coat and show off his sweet ass.
That wasn't great either.
We had a couple. Oh, yeah, no, there were... We had a few belly shots in these episodes.
Yeah.
Got some surprising reveals.
I felt bad about Orange Juice Chef because so this is Philip and
cauliflower.
Yeah, he's all about the cauliflower. His face is on a billboard. And I usually would like a fuzzy chef, you know, because he has like a beard and some extra like I don't know like a top knot type thing. But
man bun.
He lives in LA and I couldn't get behind despite his beard. I couldn't guys.
Well, you don't use a little squeeze of orange juice in your eye as an excuse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did Michael Jordan complain about orange juice in his eye? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, it's from that famous game 3 of the playoffs where Michael Jordan was making some Supremes.
And he just had to play through.
He played through. He didn't even complain.
The unexpected happened, and he just made it happen anyway. Yeah. It was fine.
When he dunks with his tongue out, he was just, you know, he's tasting his food.
LeBron does that thing. It's not chalk that he throws in the air before the game. It is flour. He's getting ready to bake.
And or deep fry.
Yeah.
So the thing about the mise en place is, you know, we go from 17 chefs down to 9 very quickly. Right?
Super quick.
So we have like a sort of a focused showcase on these 9 chefs, and then they get divided into teams, and they are then doing like a blind cooking.
Oh, the blind relay!
I love that.
Oh, I love that.
They just did four quick fires at once.
They totally did 4 quick fires in a row. So Alex, what do you love about the blind relay?
I love Top Chef Masters Chef Yoda when he just was so good at this.
Johnny Wax.
Yeah.
Wait. It's Chef Obi-Wan. I would love it to be Chef Yoda.
You're right.
But,
yeah. Sorry, Chef Obi-Wan. Very good point.
Yeah.
But so
would Chef Yoda be?
Oh, yeah.
Just a little confused, very short. It's a really interesting challenge, and it's more just a game than like an actual cooking challenge that shows how great you are, I think, most of the time. But it's like the first person has to just like get a bunch of stuff in the pan. But if you get too much stuff, they might think you want the chicken and forget about the other thing you're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an exciting one. And then the middle person is just like, well, I just have to keep these things going and not mess it up. And then the third person has to be like, make a dish out of whatever's cooking. It's just a really interesting I think it's a really fun thing. And I love that they like, there was the no one checked the oven and the food went missing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, in a way, these two things side by side are very, like, very much the opposite of each other, right? So we have the choose your own adventure followed by the, like, ultimate teamwork strategy showcase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This adventure chose you.
Or did it? Maybe it stayed in the oven. And
I was waiting for a fire alarm to go off because that food was still in the oven and no one touched it.
It's like
that'll be like the last shot of the series.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the strategy of the first person of just making a whole bunch of stuff without any dish in mind? And then providing out for number
Jason
two.
From Seattle did is he's like, I'm just going to do a bunch of stuff. And he didn't have a real plan, which made it so much harder for the second person and the third person to try to make a plan. When you had somebody, you know, who went first for one of the other teams? I'm just looking here. So like Isaac did a good job of setting some foundation of like, yeah, this is going to be a breaded chicken. So here's the chicken. Here's the breading.
Yeah. He talked pretty specifically.
Cajun Man 5000.
Let's not call him by his non-given name.
Right. And actually, Renee did a pretty good job of setting the stage with some of the, you know, the ponzu and the Asian flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love
it bright.
I like it.
Oh, also, sorry, not Renee. Sassy Chef.
Sassy Chef.
Sassy Kansas City Chef.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys, how awkward was it when they were doing the hand raise introduction of like, who is an executive chef, who has a James Beard nomination, and who would like to tell us that they're the sassiest chef in Kansas?
And poor Angelina, she's just a little Bratz doll that somehow wandered into the set. She's 24.
She's so young.
And she's like, I'm a chef de cuisine, I'm 24. I don't know.
That's impressive anywhere else.
I
know that was great though, because Tom like walked by and he was like oh, you don't worry about your age, and she was like, you know, my age doesn't matter, my cooking does. And then she like whiffs on the cooking and like, you know, she was right, like
it super does matter. And she thought she was going to be the best with the relay because she's the one who's still doing this stuff day to day.
That was Frances, actually, the sous chef.
Oh, sorry, she's a chef de cuisine. Is a sous chef. You're right. But still, the exec chef who hadn't spent a lot of time doing this broke down chickens like a mad woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sassy chef turns out to break down chicken.
Yeah.
Turns out.
I think it's got to
stay sharp no matter where you are.
I think it's better to be very clear with what you're trying to make, because the middle person just can't edit. It's just not really, they don't have, you know, 10 minutes is not a lot of time to choose. If you'd talked about it and were like, you're going to make a lot of stuff and then I'm going to choose, but without talking about it, I think you just got to be like super clear. Like, she should have taken flour, or whoever was put the food in the oven, should have taken flour and made a trail
all
the way in the oven with a big arrow.
Just a giant flour arrow on the ground.
Or just like a squeeze bottle of oil written on the counter, oven.
Yeah, that's something that Sloppy Man could have done.
Yeah.
That'd been like, oh, I'm just being sloppy. This isn't on purpose. And then people would have believed him. Then like,
you just follow the like,
why
you
are
just
there
follow the blurred out Pellegrino bottles to the oven?
Yeah, exactly. Or the like flower like footprints, like
you guys, the most amazing thing happened.
I
liked Messy Genius, by the way. That was fun.
Messy Genius.
Hard
to watch.
Yeah, Sloppy Chef. Okay, he chopped up and blended
a sticker.
A sticker. And like that dish went over well.
Yeah, it did.
Well, right.
They didn't see the footage we saw.
Yeah, well, I'm saying we should all be seasoned with stickers now, guys. This is
turns out there's a recipe for success.
Oh, it's crazy.
So before we go on to the elimination challenge, I'm just curious, as an opening gambit, how did we feel about mise en place? Is this super successful?
Yeah, I'd take it again. I want more mise.
I like
it's
it.
It's always fun. I wish there was a relay and more of the whole thing being mise en place. Or like, it was hard to focus on one element of the quick fire.
I still like seeing some mise, and I love the blindfold handoff thing, and I love restaurant wars, and I have never been a wait later and get two marshmallows kind of guy.
Nope.
If you've got a marshmallow, let's eat it, let's go, and you figure something out later. Like, start me with the best challenges. Make this exciting from day one. I love it.
I was just I was really happy they didn't do an elimination quickfire.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I like this I was a lot relieved. Better.
Even though I had people I wanted to eliminate.
Right away.
From very early right on.
Well, no shirt, no competition.
Yeah.
Ez, did you have something you wanted to say?
I was just noticing, like, so we hadn't talked about this, but back from the dead is Grayson.
Who
made a
medium-sized splash, maybe, in season 9.
Yeah.
I didn't remember her.
Yeah,
she
I was like, you look sort of familiar.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, she made it farther than I realized in the Texas season. She made it pretty far. Not finals, but eliminated like one episode before the finals started.
Really?
Something like that.
Wow.
It really it helped that they kept showing the footage of her from before. I was like, right. Oh, sure, I remember you now.
Yeah, but she's back, and she's got a bad attitude.
Yeah,
it turns out. I'm not sure she really knew that she had to go back to Top Chef.
It turns out four seasons really creates a poop-toot in a person. And she's just all complaints all the time. Mm-hmm. I'd take a sassy chef over her.
And with the elimination challenge that was cooking for the Dine LA Showcase in Hollywood. And
in an empty park.
In an empty park. To be fair, a park with a view of the Hollywood sign.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. With a lot of dogs possibly rubbing themselves on the grass. So this was the, like, now go straight into a catering challenge, but it was surprisingly open-ended, right? So you get to cook whatever you feel, whatever you think represents you.
Top Chef loves bloggers. They're like, so these bloggers are coming over, 200 of them. Yeah, just, here's some money. Cook what you want.
Just
it's
go.
Fine.
Just
it's
do
fine.
It.
Whatever you do.
There are not 200 good bloggers, even in LA. Is that mean?
Well,
there are
critics,
so
bloggers,
many food
editors.
Bloggers in the world, though.
Yeah, but like some people have to be just ones. Like someone's just taking pictures of dinners and is not really like a food expert. Right?
Well,
most of them.
Yeah. I mean, and who is Top Chef to separate the wheat from the chaff in the food blogging world?
Yeah, the
I mean,
grass from the dog pee.
The grass from the... Exactly.
The blogging world really is the off-leash area of the internet.
So this was a huge mess of food, and I especially appreciated beautiful alien Gail Simmons saying, like, I always forget at the start of the season just how much food we have to eat. Right?
Yeah.
There's like 17 things.
Yeah,
that seems like it'd be a big challenge.
I mean, it's one of those good problems.
Well, but it's,
well,
I always
the
worry.
First 12, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 12 feels reasonable. 17 starts to feel very unwieldy.
Yeah,
I'm confident I can taste at least 15 dishes.
All right, Alex.
I had an anxiety attack after like 8 courses at one of like the gift fancy meals that we had.
Yeah, it's really not really food anymore. It's more just like
it's like a job you have to do. Or,
yeah,
well,
that you use your mouth for.
It's a job for them.
Yeah,
like, right.
Oh, my third hand is getting so tired. You guys.
Yeah, that's why I always worry about the people who get. Who are last is like, well, what if they're just sick of food by that point?
Well, but maybe there's two groups and they go counterclockwise
they do
and clockwise.
Yeah.
I think they do different directions.
Yeah, but
if
Tom tastes your food last, then it's a huge disadvantage.
Exactly. They and actually, Megan, you
Garrett.
Make a, you make a good, this happened with Garrett, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we had two very different experiences of Garrett's food depending on what time in the day people were
starting
the station.
Burning his garlic.
But you also you also get the advantage in that Tom told somebody to season their meat better and then they just got more salt. So you do get to improve as you go.
Right.
Yeah. That's and because true. So the scoring on this one was a little different. It wasn't just the judges picking their tops and bottoms. It was everybody, all the guests, these bloggers and critics got scorecards and whoever was in the top group, that was the tops and then a judges selected a winner and the same for the bottom. That was like the bottoms and then the judges decided who among that.
Right.
And so it was funny seeing, you know, the judges also gossip about who should have been in the top but wasn't or who should have been in the bottom but wasn't.
Yeah.
And so that was very interesting.
Yeah. Was, who, can you remember somebody who should have been in the top and wasn't? I can't remember.
Let's see here.
There. The guy I really like from Massachusetts.
Oh, Carl.
Yes, Carl.
Yeah, Cowboy Carl.
Cowboy Carl, the tiny gentleman.
Yeah.
He was.
He's just so, he's so kind. He has a very defined jaw, and
he's
always
tall.
Like, and whenever he gets greeted by people, he's like, it is so nice to meet you. And they're like, oh, it is lovely to meet you. It just becomes
he
this
was
like,
lovely.
Top hat showcase. It's great.
Right, I take it back. I couldn't taste 17 foods because I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, Carl did the carrot soup.
I haven't seen any of these things
in
that you're
the
discussing.
First one. Yeah, Carl
was he actually in the top?
He was actually top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
never mind.
What were the things that jumped out at you guys about the chefs based on these quick hits? I mean, there were some people that I like still couldn't place, like Chad. Bearded Chad.
Oh yeah.
Based on this alone, I was like, I have no idea who Chad is.
Yeah, Chad is our Whitney this season, I think.
I have no idea.
Also,
what that
who?
Means, yeah.
No, exactly. Whitney was in one
Whitney?
Of the.
Nobody does.
No.
She got eliminated like 8 episodes in, and the only episode we actually saw that there was a chef named Whitney on Top Chef was the episode she was eliminated.
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
Could have been a Whitney.
It's a little bit of a Grayson.
It's also that there's back to back episodes, I think, but really the only thing I remember from this challenge is Grayson sucking and then not being willing to admit that it sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's the thing, it would have been a delicious meatball sub.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a classic Top Chef thing where Tom is like, this tastes like any great Italian sandwich place in New Jersey. And I'm like, well, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Can we just eat that all the time?
So do we think that the pressure is a little bit more on Grayson because she's been there before and she should know like there's an elevation expected when you show up at Top Chef? Or do we think that this is just, I mean, if, even if they didn't know her, they would have these issues with her.
Yeah, I think they hold that standard to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although Emerald saying that, like, you know, and this is a quote, like, I'm going to cut through the bullshit. I expected more of you, Grayson.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
Well, that was I mean, weird. What know was the what she's capable
he was cutting
of.
Through?
I feel
everyone
like
was being, everyone was in the process of being mean to her. So, like,
yeah. Well,
I think they were talking around her being, you know, kind of nice about it. And he right. was like, yeah, I expected more.
I feel like she is also, like... like part of her attitude thing is that like she doesn't have this sort of like, oh wow, it's Tom, like I have to be like really, you know, I'm a little starstruck right now. Like she's yeah. already familiar with them, and so like I feel like maybe sure. part of her like just coming out and like saying whatever she's thinking is because she's been on the show before.
Well, I wish we could just skip ahead to the second elimination challenge because I just want to hate her so much for her vegan food.
Well, sure, that yeah, that
think,
is
I think
tempting.
That's coloring but how I talk
for,
about
for her
now.
Competent salad.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe from one flavor of dislike to another, Sarah, I want to hear the split between how you felt about Philip after the like mise en place initial challenge, and then how that feeling grew and changed during the California produce with flavors of the Pacific.
Yes, well, it grew, but it did not change.
I don't remember his dish for this one.
For which one?
For the California produce with flavors of the Pacific.
Yeah, I actually don't remember that.
It was
first.
Like 47 ingredients, including smoked applewood and burned grass that he picked up off the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I remember
hay in the restaurant.
I remember thinking I wanted him to fail so badly and really thought it was going to happen because of all of the ingredients. And I think someone, maybe Gail, made the comment. Or Padma, maybe, that how good. There were so many things. But then they liked it, and my heart sank.
Yeah, my heart sank, too. That, like, sidebar with Emeril and Gail was really hard for me. When they were like, this is the future of food. And I was like, no, please, no.
The dog grass thing was kind of weird. Like, was that... Because it did seem gross. There were dogs off leash, and then he was just taking... But he was smoking with it. He wasn't, like, licking it. And also,
yeah, I think there was foil.
Also, you do know that we fertilize hay with cow poo, right? Like,
yeah, but
it's not
you know,
that gross. I mean, it seemed gross, but
there are usually a few more steps in between.
Yeah,
you don't need to smoke grass with like a dog urine dressing.
What was that, Ez?
I would just say everything is poop a few steps removed. Well, we usually want the more steps, the better.
Yeah. I don't know that we're rubbing cow dung on hay right before smoking it in a restaurant environment. So
not all of us know.
Not every yet. Place.
It's the future of food.
Yeah.
And I think that the only other moment that I definitely wanted to touch on before we move right along into the crazy restaurant wars party is the spoon gate incident.
Oh, with Wesley?
Oh. Spoongate 2015.
With Sloppy
Messy
Wesley.
Chef.
Oh,
yeah.
Gross.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Sloppy
oh, right.
Wesley.
Oh, right.
He loses a spoon and puts it back in the food.
Yeah.
Like, Padma and Tom, just their looks while he was, like, plating their dish, they were just, like, grossed out the entire time. And then I was so expecting them to hate the dish, and they're like, oh, the broth's actually, that's really good.
Whatever he's eating, mouth, I want bro. More of it.
Yeah.
Well, he's Blaze's executive chef at the Spence, right?
Yeah.
So you know he's good, but I don't know. Like, it was really hard for me to get past all of his sloppy.
I don't understand how you get this far without knowing not to put your tasting spoon back in the broth.
Yeah.
Like,
this is.
He might have just really good MSG like saliva that like that's his secret. It's like, well, I don't like it on principle, but it's really good.
Yeah, he knows the secret to good food is stickers and saliva.
Well,
the future of food.
What's interesting is if you think back to the very first episode of Top Chef ever.
Yes.
There is a tasting spoon incident with Hubert
Keller.
Yeah, Hubert yells at one of the chefs for doing that, and so it's like, you know, you just have to watch the show and be like, you know, this is not a thing that we do.
You also shouldn't do that in a restaurant.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little worried to go eat at his restaround now because gross.
Dog pine saliva and stickers and
Yeah, I'm not gonna eat a dog poop, guys, either.
Yeah. So should we cut to the chase on the first episode?
Let's cut through the bullshit for us.
Okay. So the tops were Amar with his spicy pork belly meatball, Jeremy with his snapper crudeau, and Carl with his carrot soup. And the bottoms were Angelina with her croquette, Renee, who had immunity. Mm-hmm. But she did, I forget what she did. What'd she do?
Renee did citrus marinated pork loin and polenta.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. And
all of it was bland.
And there was also Grayson's meatball was at the bottom too.
Grayson's average meatball.
And Garrett, was at the bottom for his burned garlic and noodles and stuff. Yeah. Jeremy won with his crudo. He seems like he's, you know, winning the first challenge is always a good indicator.
And also getting fish into like Tom's like golden circle seems like a big
deal. If you give Padma spicy booze and you give Tom fish, I think you're winning.
Everything's going great.
Yeah.
And so Garrett left instead of Angelina. Do we think...
I knew like, due to 100% the whole time that Garrett was going home.
Wow. I really didn't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, Sarah. And Alex, why were you so sure?
Classic Top Chef editing moment, a classic magical elves trick, which is when they were explaining the challenge, they cut away from Padma's face and you heard Robot Padma from the future say, but what we're really looking forward for is consistency. And then they cut back to her. And so when they're judging him, they're like, some of them were burned. I was like, well, there you go. They don't retroactively add something to the rules if it's not sent someone home for.
That's very astute.
Mm-hmm. They did do it later, though, but maybe that was just for... We'll talk about it later, but it might have just been for suspense purposes.
Oh, the thing with Padma's hand where she kept talking and they showed just her hand flapping?
Right, yeah. Oh, she was saying, like, and he didn't use his knowledge of vegan cooking to help his teammates.
Right, yeah.
It was just Padma's hand, like, in the screen.
It was such a weird shot. It was like they cut away from her face down to just her hands gesticulating. And it was like, obviously, if she was saying this, you'd show me her face. So this is...
Yeah, that's like, it's not B-roll. That's like C or D-roll.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look what we found. Oh, the cutting room floor is so useful. All right, so... Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, that was it.
That was all.
Sometimes
all right,
I like to riff after the joke is over.
But just parts of words.
Yes. Yeah. No, I caught myself. I was like, no one wants to hear this.
Yeah, it's fixed.
No one wants to hear this. And really, I'm so excited to talk about episode 2, Pop-Up Pandemonium, which is basically Restaurant Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like on pop-up steroids.
Style.
Pop-up style. Yeah. So some of the stumbling blocks that Restaurant Wars tends to create are not present.
Right.
But we basically take these... All the chefs were down to 16, were in four groups of four, and they are taken to different neighborhoods around Los Angeles, and they are challenged to create a type of food that neighborhood is known for.
And the great thing about this the great thing about it was that Ludo is there to sort of announce this, and it seems like he hates like pop-ups and also possibly cooking.
They had the most reluctant pop-up mascot of all time.
Just like, guys, I don't envy you. I hate pop-ups. I never want to pop-up again.
And then at the end when he's judging, they come in and he's like, you seem so happy. I wouldn't be happy if I'd made a pop-up today.
How do you do it? I don't understand.
It was very neutered as far as pop-ups go, because it wasn't like one of the things they say, in fact, the way they described it on the show, a pop-up is a restaurant in a non-restaurant setting. They were just in people's restaurants.
Yeah.
And then
it was just
the hardest it's more like an invasion.
Yeah, exactly. It was a takeover, which they've done on the show a lot. This is just a takeover challenge. But also
the Mexican was in a town square type area.
Yeah, that was, but it was like there was the chef who had a restaurant adjacent to it or something. But the other ones were just like in the restaurants. And also they didn't have to get people to come to their weird town square restaurant, so there's none of that problem with pop-ups.
Yeah, because Gail tweeted all our friends.
Yeah. It's true. And they didn't have to like decide what kind of pop-up out of nothing. They were told what the genre was. So it was a pretty neutered Restaurant Wars, even a neutered pop-up challenge. I loved it, but it was so soon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do we... I mean, this felt like a really helpful way to get to know everybody better. Did everybody... Yeah. Feel like that was a
also
good
to get to know LA. I felt like this was one of the best showcases of LA, and they've done a lot of stuff in LA, and this was a great showcase of it.
Agreed.
Good point.
So
it made me really want Persian food. I really want to eat at that restaurant.
Yeah,
yeah. That
I want
so
non-Mexican
delicious.
Carrot food.
So just briefly, we had Team Persian, Team Vegan, Team Korean, and Team Mexican.
How did they mess up Mexican food so badly?
I think, I mean, the death knell seemed like it was that they were given a mentor and they didn't ask them anything.
How do we really Mexico this food up? Nope, didn't ask.
Nope, well, we feel pretty good about it.
But Chad has two Mexican restaurants, and Jeremy spent some time, or one of the two, spent some time cooking Mexican food or Latin food. And so they
knew how to make it Mexican. They just were trying to think outside the box and went too far.
Yeah, that could be.
They left the box behind.
Yeah, right. And that's a better mistake than, like, you just made us a light bean salad for a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was funny the way so many people talked. They had all these questions about Persian food, and they cut to Los Bros in the Mexican restaurant. And they were like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I think this is where we really solidify all of our feelings about Philip and Grayson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When they are on Team Vegan together and both of them do differently odious things.
Yep.
So the thing is about Team Vegan, it was in Venice, California.
It was an annoying All-Stars on Team Vegan.
Yeah. That's,
oh, but Francis. But I love also, Francis.
Yeah. You're right, Francis, but then Sassy Chef, Grayson, and Billboard. So they...
Yeah.
It was like they made it easy on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, we should mention with that, no knife block, obviously.
Knife block is waiting in the wings. Actually, this was another question that I had about this style of challenge overall, is I feel like we've really started off with a bang and like, how do we go forward from here? But I forgot about knife block.
Right. Well, I thought, so the way they chose teams this time was Padma just said the names of them. It wasn't just like by grouping. She had like, it's like she'd memorized the teams already.
But they were all standing in the groups that she
were they
named.
Standing close to each other?
Yeah.
Yes, they were. So I think they tell them where to stand. They say like, you stand here. Yeah. It must be because she definitely had it memorized and they were all standing in their groups.
I was wondering because each group had one person who had cooked that genre before.
Yes. And that's how they did it.
So I thought that it must have been like actually chosen for strengths and weaknesses, which I kind of enjoy having them be kind of even not too terrible teams.
Yeah,
I thought that was a nice touch, and not it didn't sway anything in a particular direction.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that like overall, I mean, my impression of the first two challenges is that their culinary producer, Sandy, who I think was season 3, Sandy Birdsong, is their new Leanne Doe, basically. She's doing a good job. They're like building some good challenges right out the gate. And
really
this is one way that it seems, at least on paper, really balanced until Grayson and Philip and Sassy Chef have to...
I mean, that's true. I thought the challenges were great. Also, I feel like I kind of know, not everybody, obviously. There's this one like 12-year-old white kid that I don't know what his deal is.
Chad?
Maybe it's Chad. I don't know who that is.
The one with the big beard is Chad.
No, right? He doesn't.
A lot of them have big beards.
No. Right? He's baby face. There's a little baby
face. Are you talking about Carl?
Oh,
maybe.
Fancy Carl?
I don't know
maybe?
Who it is. Anyway, there are people there who I don't know who they are, but I still feel like I've gotten a lot to go off of for the first two episodes. I feel like I know who I hate. I have some early favorites. One of my early favorites won in the second episode, so that was rad.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot. I like Virgo. I don't know why.
Karen? Yeah, pink hair Karen.
Yeah, pink hair Virgo.
Pink hair Karen.
Oh, yeah, I like her.
She seems remarkably competent. I wanted to ask, so Grayson has a bad attitude, and bad attitude has persevered since the meatballs into vegan food.
Oh yeah,
but she made 400 balls.
She made 400 balls, and Padma's reaction is literally okay.
Yeah. If they were better, that'd be nice.
That would have been interesting.
I could make a lot of crappy things in a hurry.
Okay, here's the thing though. That excuse did work, kind of, because she didn't get sent home. So I was telling Sarah I really want her to use this.
Garrett,
this approach every single time.
As they did say that Garrett was really the only one who made a mistake.
Right.
That otherwise Angelina's food was just kind of bland and not pushing the envelope. So was Grayson's.
Mm-hmm.
And that Garrett was the one who actually had just burned garlic.
Right.
So
just mistreated an ingredient to the worst possible effect.
Yeah.
Right. Who was being inconsistent.
Yeah. But
I wonder how long Grayson can hang on.
I mean,
it's hard to get back-to-back bottoms at the beginning and then turn into a strong run, especially because you just only get more stressed, and especially with that poop toot, to like think that she's going to be like, oh, well, now I get my pork fat, so I'm going to cook awesome new innovative cuisine. Like, I think she's probably...
I, Here's what I would love, though, guys. Because I don't know if you noticed this, they don't really care about the attitude that much. Like, they say that it's like, oh, this, you got to shape up, ship out. But, like, they know who they're saying home before they even talk to them, I think. For that.
At least in these early episodes, they do.
I think so. Although, I guess what I mean is, like, I think it's just going to sabotage herself. I think she's just not going to cook great food when she's so angry.
What if it's like, you know, sloppy chef's spit? You know, what if her poop toot is, like, her special seasoning?
Her weakness is her strength.
It's unlikely.
Just above the bottom. My secret ingredient is loathing.
Yeah.
Well, but her insistence also, that she can't make a vegetable dish isn't exactly like a good look as far as any team challenge. And when you say vegan food, you know, like Padma pointed out, it has nothing to do with the fact that, like, oh my God, what's going to be the main and all this? It's like, make a good ass vegetable dish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There were four dishes like that. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Yeah, just make
what
a great
was
pickle.
That is? Just go, you got a great pickle. You got some great vegan food. Put a pickle on it.
Manzanita berries.
There's so many delicious vegetable dishes that these people make all the time. Take out the butter, put in oil. It's super easy. Like, yes. But the fact that you panic when they say vegan doesn't help you. But also, her signature dish, which was a meatball, the meatiest of things and the balliest of things, sucked. So it's not like, oh, you give her some venison and all of a sudden, or veal. Like, you give her veal and she's great. No, she can't make a veal meatball.
She grinds it up and puts it in a ball and then gets mad at you.
Exactly. Like, you're not proving to me that vegan is your one.
Yeah.
Her defense of, like, well, I guess I could put sparkles on it, which are not an edible choice.
I know. I was like, you can't eat sparkles.
Come on.
We know that.
And they don't even taste that good. It's just a sad time.
This was compared to last season where it was like Richard Blaze walking around going, I hate olive oil snow. I feel better about this group and the challenges already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Philip did get dinged a little bit for the preciousness of his cauliflower.
Yeah. Not for the name, which I would have gone right after.
Yeah, I would have. I mean, but then again, he said exactly what was going on that
point. Yeah, Tom can't fault him for that.
He pulled no punches there.
That's true. He really did prep Tom.
I would love a raise of hands for how many people are worried that Philip is actually talented.
Super worried.
Oh, for sure.
That's my deepest, darkest fear.
Yeah, I don't want... I mean... if Philip stays on longer than Cajun Man 5000, I might eat my hat.
Yeah.
Edible.
Hat.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a great dish, but he tweezered on the third hat, and I didn't like it.
I really enjoy the levity of Cajun Man 5000.
Me too.
I feel like his like wacky reaction face is very enjoyable.
And I like Messy Chef. There's so many people I like. I don't want him to win. Obviously, the guy who's too Hollywood billboard face. But there's other people that I like. There's a lot of people I like. So
do you think Messy Chef is the new Katsuji?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yes,
good one.
Wait, what?
Oh.
The new Katsuji?
Do you think Katsuji. Wesley, yeah. the
like,
messy
talented
chef?
But kind of a train wreck?
Sticker chef.
Yeah.
He's got flavors of Katsuji, but I feel like ideally, if we had to build a new Katsuji, I'm not sure why we would, but if we.
Well, the old one runs out of batteries.
I think if we combined Wesley and Cajun Man 5000, we would have like basically Katsuji.
Messy train wreck and then like big personality.
But he only cooks halal food for some reason.
But he's successful.
But by the way, Cajun Man 5000 never cooked Persian food before, did an awesome job.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we had so many examples. And like, you know, who was it? Sorry, on Team Korean,
the
Giselle,
the
who did the wings. Like, you know, if you have a cook who's willing to ask questions, willing to learn, willing to,
willing
you know,
to run people down in the grocery store.
Like, ask people, are you Korean? You look Korean. How do I cook chicken wings?
Yeah. But she was right.
Yeah, and it worked.
That was.
They were at a Korean market. It's a fair question.
I mean, yeah.
It was a little awkward.
She did really well despite running on just pure anxiety for an entire episode.
Although, I think that's my magical elves moment when I was like, oh, the editing of this means that she's actually going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Right? Because too many people were like, whoa, can she do it?
Yeah.
But she was, she did really look that like that racist in the supermarket. Like that was not edited.
Whenever someone says they got a bad edit, it's like, well, you did say the racist thing. Sure. They cut out all the nice things you said about Korean people.
Yeah.
Right. Well, based on your actions, it is indisputable.
Yeah, I love that we get that shot of Jason, her teammate from Seattle. Who was like, girl, I do not want to just hear about your anxiety.
Yeah. There's Marjorie. So Marjorie, the one of my early favorites, who yes. made yogurt mousse and sponge cake with honey that the restaurant owner wants to put on his menu.
Her menu.
Mm-hmm. On her menu. They were just all about right away. And that was super fun that she went pastry super fast, cooked an incredible one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty
gutsy. Yeah. I mean, she called it her secret weapon, which it's not if you cook it first. That's just a weapon. But I...
Well, they cooked other things before
this. I guess
this.
It was her
like
second
one. Other thing.
Yeah.
Second
thing.
This is her second, like, she's not, second choice weapon.
She's very good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, she's terrible. Yeah,
keeping secrets is not a weapon.
You guys don't hear about my secret weapon? You don't hear about my secret weapon?
Sarah,
wait, what are you going to say, Sarah?
Oh, I was going to say she does win the most down-to-earth award so far, I think.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And also, I love someone who doesn't panic with pastry. Like, I would guess Marjorie, if she'd been given vegan food, would be like, okay, well, I have some vegan recipes. Like, she just seemed like she was ready to handle stuff and unfazed, and I like that.
Because I've watched Top Chef before, and I will probably cook something that I don't normally cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that might be challenged.
Then there's
on
good
this
old
show.
Kwame, you know, Space Cadet Kwame, who
he
knows it's a California challenge. He's from the Bronx. He's the black guy with the glasses.
He was on tour across the country doing pop-up restaurants.
Yeah. Yes, the pop-up
on tour
expert.
Across the country and pop-up restaurant. Great. It's a California challenge, and he's never cooked Mexican food before.
Yeah.
But he crushes and he saves Team Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's the only reason Los Bros survived.
What kind of prep? Like, what kind of prep could you not do?
Well, that's
like,
true. Well, they might not have known it was California, right? This is what we talked about before, is you find out a couple days before you fly out where you're going. Not when
that's true.
But the idea that you would leave an entire like food type out, just like out to chance.
Right.
Seems it's
surprising.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little surprising.
Like, I don't know that that's safe.
Who was it? Was it Billboard Face who had been on Chopped and the other one that we'd never heard of?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Who's
yes.
Like,
I saw him on
season
Chopped.
Competition
I totally
guy.
Remember him on Chopped.
Did he not like him on Chopped also?
What was?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Do you remember any of his dishes or anything that
I
he did?
I don't remember the dishes, but I remember at every round him being really rude in the back room to everyone else.
But isn't it the most LA thing for the chef from LA to be like, well, I've done all the reality shows.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. At least he's consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Self-promotional.
So what are you guys thinking so far?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Was Emeril on the last season? I can't remember.
Not as often as he was on the delightful season before, but he made some appearances.
Yeah. I'm glad that he's back.
Always.
You know, as one of the main judges.
Oh,
and
they were talking about how he like was flying people out to their after Katrina, and he was like giving them jobs and restaurants and stuff.
Know.
So touching.
Oh yeah.
Man, amazing.
Emeril.
I know.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Amazing. And like in the New Orleans season, he just seemed like he just had the biggest heart. You know?
Yeah.
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 He is the warm hearth of chef attitude. It's a good time.
I like that they're not really messing around with the judges this time. Like they've just got the people who've done it a lot before and
just the hits.
Yeah. We are going to get, I did see just on Bravo's website, we're going to get some Blaze later, but he's not a full time.
Mm-hmm. His hair is taller than ever.
Taller than ever. He's wearing a very complex floral. There's a lot going on.
He's just getting more Blaze every year.
More and more Blaze every time.
He's concentrating the Blaze.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when fruit is on the vine, there's a point in which it's really good. And then you just, time keeps going on.
No.
You would say Blaze is overripened?
Love you, Blaze.
Sorry, buddy.
Sun-dried.
Sorry.
I'm sun-dried Blaze.
I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know. I it's hard to remember exactly. Like, I'd love to insert a clip from season one of last season where I'm like, this is the best season. But I am I'm kind of geeked right now.
I think we are way more excited now.
Yeah.
At least Sarah and I, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like the last season, it was like a little bit rough at the beginning.
Yeah, we had to get into it.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like this is like some of the fastest they threw me in. Mm-hmm. So...
I think I've said this already, but I will repeat that I do feel more confident with like who everybody is already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
for 17 chefs on my TV is a lot.
That is so many chefs on my TV.
So many.
Yeah,
the problem, I mean, and I think it goes
fast.
To the thing where we got all challenges, all cooking, like the whole time. And it was great. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of, I mean, they settled in the house once. Kwame had his arm around Angelina once, and it was never mentioned.
And we
again.
Found out that, the woman who was bunking with Sassy Chef.
Oh, Frances. Yeah.
Oh, is a lookalike.
Her wife looks just like Sassy Chef.
Is that...
That was kind of an awkward moment.
Is that allowed, though, generally, right? Like, if you find, like, a lookalike, like it's pretty much okay.
Yeah, it's like a comfort. It's like a comfort companion.
It's
you know?
A comfort.
I Sarah's is really that, upset. I feel
no, there's no one who could ever match you, Sarah. Don't worry.
Thank you.
I thought it was the other. I felt like it was the other way. I felt like Sassy Chef is the safest person, like because she already has one of that. So
oh, you Francis. Don't need to. Yeah.
Yeah, Francis is gonna go hit on someone else because she's already got one of you. She's looking for something, anything that's different at this point.
What if she wants to corner the market on Sassy Chef?
It could be.
Yeah. However, it's no longer an issue because Sassy Chef
Hella
got,
went home.
Eliminated.
She went home. Got booted. And then,
you can't just take a beat and put stuff in the beat, apparently.
Yeah.
It's mushy.
I wasn't that. Positive about her going home. I really thought it was Grayson because ugh. But the they did one of those like sort of devious edits where they didn't show us they showed us very little of what they thought of the food. Mm-hmm. And then after they eliminated her, they were like, oh, it's just inedible, it's gross, it tasted like poison. Like they were so
yeah,
much
well, now
meaner.
You tell us.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You seem like you just a little disliked it and now you hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do wonder. So we're still rolling with the judges when they come by and taste the food giving some feedback right then and there. I still really like that, but I think that there's some, I don't know. I'm curious to see how that changes because in the first episode when they go around and do the park event, they're giving them feedback and then that feedback actually changes a little bit when you get to judges table.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Restaurant Wars Lite episode, we don't get as much of that at all.
It felt like they didn't give any feedback to the chefs themselves. They talked a little bit about the tables,
yes.
But
because I think they had to run back to the kitchen really.
Well, that's part of it. Yeah. But
well, and I love the moment where Philip's like, I think we got this. Like, the lowest
cauliflower,
team.
Cauliflower. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just don't think we can go any farther without acknowledging that the guest judge said to Grayson, your green beans died for no reason.
Oh, yeah, it was a good little line.
Nothing. Oh, he was on fire. That was
Ludo. There were so many zingers. It was delicious. Oh. And then I think we also have to recognize that while this episode was mean and lean and mostly cooking, we did get some great moments in the car. And now we know that Tom wears his dad glasses to drive.
He's got his readers. His readers.
And then the awkward social media that we talked about before. I liked that.
Sure.
Although it was, you know, this is the thing that they were kind of hiding about LA, which is like, they're like, oh, now we're going to go to Venice. And then, you know, cut to 4 hours later. they sort of skipped a lot of driving. Those are long trips.
Sarah, what was that?
I said, and then they're there.
Yeah, they just magically got
that
to
Venice. That wasn't how it was.
And then
now it's nighttime in Koreatown.
Exactly. There was one hint and it was nighttime and that the whole timeline was askew. They'd been lying to us.
Yeah, so Marjorie won for dessert. Renee gets out for beats. Last Chance Kitchen?
Yeah.
LCK.
Last Chance Kitchen. So Garrett and Renee, showdown.
And then they swap baskets. So Garrett had to make a vegan dish, and Renee had to make a normal sauce chicken dish.
Well, the only thing that it had was fish sauce, apparently.
Couldn't do it.
Well, fish sauce, but also had lemongrass and garlic and ginger and other stuff.
I think the last couple seasons, Last Chance Kitchen is where the best challenges have been. They've been so consistently interesting. And I love this. Same basket as you got eliminated for, swapsies. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Yeah.
I also love that they both thought that their own basket was like the better basket.
Exactly.
Like, of course they did, because they were the ones who chose the ingredients.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. This thing that I picked out, I really like that thing.
Yeah.
Turns out. Then Renee screwed up the cooking. This was the sad thing for me, because I do think Renee's probably very talented, but she was doing the thing where you try to like trick Tom and it just doesn't work. Like, you can't cut the burned part off the chicken. Tom's gonna notice.
Well, and then, anyone would notice, I think. Well, but she, I don't know if that's
but like, he walked by and was like, it's on too high, it's gonna burn. And so later when she was like, oh, well, the fish sauce over caramelized, like, you're not tricking him into like, oh, it's the fish sauce's fault. He knew exactly what was going to happen 20 minutes ago. Tom is really good at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Careful, Tom.
My favorite Renee line, this is a great early in the season line, is, I know now that cooking under time constraints is not for
me.
It's not for me.
Good. A lot of other know,
it was, it's good to know those things.
Yeah, it was amazing that she had the foresight to say that as she was heading into Last Chance Kitchen. I was like, well, this isn't going to be a place where you can do less
You're
of
not
that.
Sparkle.
Like, the beauty of Last Chance Kitchen is that it's 7 hours long and you can just do whatever you need to do.
It was also interesting because it wasn't like we noticed, like, oh, wow, it looks like she's really struggling with the time.
Yeah, it never
like,
seemed
yeah.
like that.
She seemed to be doing fine.
Although maybe turning the burner on too high was because she's afraid of the time.
Right. And, like, she's sort of keeping all of that in.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's also there's I'm running behind, and there's also I'm making bad decisions because I can't think under this.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think
execution errors.
I was actually feeling bad for her and sad to see her go. And then she was like, and then in her exit interview, she said, "I came in sassy and I'm leaving sassier." And I was like, "Oh, okay, never mind. I feel great."
Yep. She's fine.
I'm good. I'm good. I was on her team until she showed her fitness model pictures.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so here's the thing. I was like defending her about that to Sarah because like she might have provided those at some point, but that's like an editing choice.
Yeah, that's true. It's an editing choice on your life
to be in your underwear.
She took the photos. That was
Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like some local magazine is like, you know, we heard you lost a lot of weight. We'd like to, you know, I don't know. She gets talked into things. I don't feel like we should, like, that's not her problem. But I do wonder if instead of like the birthday curse or the dessert curse or the, what was it, the braising curse? What was the other one? It wasn't short ribs. What was the one?
Scallop?
Pressure cooker?
Yeah, I was like, oh, pressure cooker.
Pressure cooker.
We have a new curse, which is a bikini shot curse. If you show yourself in your underwear.
Compromising photo.
Yeah, you're definitely going home today.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, Chad.
And raising an eyebrow.
So I think that brings us to predictions. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. Garrett's gonna power his way back from Last Chance Kitchen. I can feel it.
Here's what I want. Actually, I want him to go like 16-1 or something like that. Where, like, he gets knocked out the last time.
Yeah, he gets knocked out the last one. Oh, that's sad.
I just be like Doug.
I'm gonna let's call a winner.
I'm calling Jeremy. Actually,
I'm calling Marjorie.
Jeremy won the first challenge.
Oh, okay. Well, very brave.
Marjorie won the second challenge.
Yeah, very brave. Let's take the first two winners.
I like Carl in the finals, and I also think Jason is showing at least a lot of variety.
I feel like Kwame, I think Little Brother Muzan is going to be great. I definitely feel like Marjorie is going to go far. And
yes.
And who was... I'll do an easier one. Definitely Grayson doesn't make two more. I think she's gone three or four at the latest. And then L.A. Billboard face becomes full-time villain. I think he is going to rise to the challenge when Grayson gets swept out.
What do you think, Sarah? Are you going to, against your better nature, predict that Philip's going to be our next Top Chef?
No. I will not do that. I'm an optimistic person.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to call that Angelina is going to go home fairly soon.
Oh. Yep.
Oh. And I'm going to put in my vote for Amar to go far and possibly make it to the finals.
Yeah, he did slay with that carrot dish. Yeah.
Can I have a bold prediction, guys?
Remember Karen? She's going to be great.
I'm lost
Karen
again.
Karen is short ribs and pink hair.
Oh, so
I feel like... We require one bandana girl per season.
Yes.
Like, they're always...
No more.
Gotta
no
be
less.
One.
Uh-oh, between Karen and Francis, we have two.
Yeah, well, they're...
Francis is...
Pink hair.
I'm fond of Francis. Oh, what is it, Ezra?
Me too.
I have a bold prediction.
Okay.
Shocking.
I'm ready.
So, can't wait. So, Messy Chef and Cajun Man 5000, are on the chopping block for a team elimination challenge.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they get duct taped together for the rest of the season. All right,
and
they are the new Katsuji.
And they are the new Katsuji. They are the Rat King Katsuji.
Oh, God. I'm gonna take a less bold prediction that doesn't happen.
You'll take the under, huh? On one Katsuji Rat King. Yeah.
All right, I think we're almost done. I did want to bring up that San Pellegrino is the sponsor this time around, which feels really refreshing.
Do you think?
I love looking at those bubbles every time.
They did blur it out when it was part of the trash on the ground because they didn't want to show their sponsor in a position of being on the ground.
Or maybe were like, Pellegrino, we want another $100 to show you on the ground. And they're like, no, we're done.
No, thanks. We don't need to be part of the garbage heap.
I love it. I think Pellegrino's it seems like a respectable sponsor, and they aren't always that, like, compared to like sponge towels or whatever. It feels
Caesar Stone,
Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yeah, right. The Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Hidden Valley Ranch is in on the Last Chance Kitchen too.
Glad family yep. of products.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't have any more Rage Pantry. Now we have like Pellegrino Ballast Point Lounge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Ballast Point. Yeah.
Actually, really quick, how do you guys feel about California?
I love it here.
Okay, not right. the whole state, I was gonna say, I'm curious as the state natives, how you guys are feeling about the statives. Yes, the statives.
Well, so far it doesn't feel like it's ours yet because Southern California, it's different. You know, we don't claim it.
When we go down to LA, also there's like we're not really part of the food scene there. There's three like places we go to like religiously with our families.
Yeah, and they do not reflect the delicious food of LA. But we do like Korean tacos every once in a while. Oh, that's
had some killer ramen in LA. And this is not as useful as Top Chef, but the diner scene in LA is out of control good. You can get
that's true.
Greasy diner any time of day, all over the place.
That is kind of what we do. Yeah, that's true. There.
Yeah.
And I love that.
But yeah, once they move up north, we will have a lot to say.
Well, lots of things.
So Megan and I were having that argument a little bit, which is that I feel like North and South California are two separate things. And she feels like this is all pretty California.
No, so I was just saying that like there's like this like health food focus and like, you know, people are drinking smoothies and stuff. And I feel like they
do that.
That
sounds more LA to me than San Francisco.
Well, but maybe, San Francisco, like Inside Out, she gets like broccoli pizza and she's really sad. Like,
I think you're both right. I think probably from an outside perspective, it is pretty much a lot of the same trendy stuff, but when you're on the inside, right. it feels mm-hmm. really different.
Yeah, I think it's what you're wearing when you're drinking those exact same things, and why you're doing it.
Yeah, whether you've seen the sun recently.
Yeah, if you're wearing like Patagonia fleece right. and you're standing in the fog drinking your kale smoothie,
right.
that's
right.
one thing.
Well,
and also, you know, if you go to a fancy, expensive smoothie place and drink your smoothie there, or if you like make it at home and add, you know, organic kale that you picked from your garden.
Right.
You know,
yeah. I guess, and really, I think we're probably talking about cold pressed juice / bone broth at this point. But
I was,
agreed. Overall.
I was sort of thinking, I guess, in comparison to the Texas episode or season, which was like, to me, Texas is all very Texas. And I'm sure if you live in one of those places, the other places seem different.
Texas Town 1.
Yeah, but I don't care. And so I feel like I like California as being pretty different, but if you're on the East Coast, it's all pretty California. And so I don't know.
Shout out to question. our fans in Texas, by the way.
Yep.
Hello.
Yeah. Sorry your state's like so whack.
Your state has a
and
lot.
Those opinions do not reflect the opinions of Pack Your Mics.
I like Austin. It's hot Portland. The rest of that state, though, oof.
That's Allison, a lot of Chris is trying to undo everything that you said.
Yeah,
he did it.
Double down.
Right. I'm like the little cleaning bot in WALL-E. I'm just following Alex around. We're gonna make it better.
All Pixar references today on the show. I spent a week in Houston and a week in San Antonio in the middle of last summer, and I think if that doesn't make you hate Texas, then you're
please
not.
Please stop, Alex.
I think we're good. I think we're good on Texas opinions. We've got all the ones we need. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So that's
I don't
I
like it is
episode.
What I'm saying.
In case anyone was unclear, Alex does not like most of Texas.
Oh
just to
just
but I think
really
we're all excited for season 13 of Top Chef.
Yay!
Bringing it back.
So that's our take on episodes 1 and 2, and we'll be back with our feelings about episode 3 shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. You can find us at packyourmics.com or on Twitter at packyourmics. And on Facebook at facebook.com/packyourmics.
Yeah, check us out. Write us.
Well, yeah, write
it
in.
It was so fun
us.
To see everybody saying, like, wondering if we were going to come back and talk, wanting, like, chomping at the bit to hear the new episode. So thank you guys for listening. Glad to have you.
Yeah, we're excited to be back.
Yay.
For sure. Yeah, and if you write us in, then we will have some fodder for, oh, wait, let me get the bell. Mailbag.
Mailbag.
And in case that alone makes you not want to write in, did want to say I want to propose a change to the way we deliver mailbag, which is let's say it faster.
Oh, I like
so instead of mailbag, we can maybe go mailbag.
I like it. Yeah, I'm in.
Okay,
yep. Let's practice.
I like it.
All right,
we gotta practice.
Yeah. Yes, we gotta go practice.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Oh, I made it through without getting cut.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Oh,
oh
no.
Well, yeah, we cut you earlier.
Oh.
Yeah. It's at
Chris,
the very beginning.
You didn't make it 5 minutes without getting cut.
Oh, damn it.
How did you forget that?